Hey, my fellow kings and queens joining me tonight. Welcome back to another episode of Prosecco Queens Podcast. I'm your host, Teresa, the Forever Dreamer, here with my mug of tea tonight, ready to spill the real talk with love, humor, and maybe a little too much honesty. But that's why we're here, right? Unfortunately, this week has been a struggle for me. I had quite a wretched bout with a stomach bug, and it really knocked me on my ass. So same as last week, this is a little late getting out, but I'm still here to support you and guide you through the rockiness that is this life. And I wouldn't pretend in any way that this isn't ridiculously cathartic for me as well. I'm such a work in progress, and I have days I am not sure I'm going to make it. But as long as we are above the ground and not 6 feet under it, we have the power to do better, heal ourselves, and help heal generations of pain. So today, we're diving into something big, turning your fears into fuel. And midlife makeovers, inner and outer transformations. Now, before you roll your eyes at quote-unquote midlife, let's get something straight. This isn't just about hitting a certain age. This is about that moment, whatever age it comes, when you realize, damn, I want more. More peace, more confidence, more love, real love. The kind that doesn't require you to shrink yourself. And yes, sometimes more fabulous hair, a wardrobe that actually fits your personality, and skin that screams, I drink my water and mind my business. But in order to get there, we gotta talk about the big scary thing that stops us. Fear. And how it connects to all these healing episodes we've been doing. Because if you've been with me for a while, you know we've been peeling back layers like an emotional onion. We've talked about triggers, shame, dating disasters, and what happens when you finally take off the rose-colored glasses. And by the way, if you missed that episode, go back and listen. It's a good one. So why this episode? Why now? Because fear, trauma, self-acceptance, healing, and transformation are all connected. And I want to help you turn your fears into the fuel that drives you forward instead of the chains that hold you back. All right, grab your drink, take a deep breath, and as always, let's get to it. So fear is one of the most powerful forces in our lives. And the tricky part? It's sneaky as hell, and it can run the show if you let it. Half the time, we don't realize it's even running the show. It's that silent whisper that makes you doubt yourself. The reason you hesitate before making a big change. The voice in your head that tells you, but what if I fail? What if I get hurt? What if I'm not enough? And what if I hurt someone else? And listen, fear isn't always the enemy. It exists for a reason. Back in the caveman days, fear kept us alive by warning us of real dangers. Wild animals, dangerous environments, and bad decisions like touching fire or eating questionable berries. Oh, and making sure that saber-toothed tiger doesn't eat you. But in today's world, fear often works against us. Instead of keeping us safe from actual threats, it keeps us small, stuck, and afraid to take the risks that lead to growth. So how does fear affect every aspect of life? Stick with me. This is a little lengthy, but I promise it'll be worth it. See, fear isn't just an emotion. It's a full-body experience. It impacts everything from our mental health to our relationships, careers, and even our physical well-being. Interesting, though. Doesn't that sound familiar from our last episode about stress? I believe that it does, because it's all linked. So let's break it down. First, fear and your mind, the anxiety trap. See, fear hijacks your brain. It creates these constant what-if scenarios that spiral into anxiety and self-doubt. You ever laid awake at night overthinking a conversation? That's fear. Ever talked yourself out of an opportunity because it might not work out? Fear again. When left unchecked, fear can create a mental loop that keeps you from fully enjoying life. I spend so much of my life where people believe that anxiety disorders aren't a real thing, and that someone who suffers is just looking for attention or is weak and can't handle life. And it's literally been just maybe in the last generation where it has begun to really be wholly recognized as a valid condition. Now, with that being said, I just heard a Gen Xer recently tell my daughter that he doesn't believe in anxiety, and I literally laughed out loud, because first off, it was a dumb statement to make, because anxiety isn't some mythical creature like a dragon. And secondly, because obviously he hasn't knowingly experienced that unwavering fear and full body and mental response that is quite literally, weirdly enough, a dragon. Some people realize that suffering from those intense emotions make a person stronger, not weaker. Even though in the moment when it brings you to your knees and you're terrified, it sure doesn't feel that way. Like any chronic illness, there are medicines, tools, and plenty of therapies to help stave off those life suckers. And when they sneak up again, hopefully those tools will be just the grounding needed to slay that dragon. See, anxiety and fears are part of the human condition and are clinical issues. It can be overwhelming for all parties, but there is life at the end of that dark tunnel. Trust me, I know. Secondly, fear and your body, the silent stressor. Fear triggers your fight or flight response, flooding your body with stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. This is great if you need to escape danger, but chronic fear, like fear of failure, rejection, or the unknown, puts your body in a constant state of stress. This can lead, and as I mentioned last week, to a couple different things. Increased heart rate and high blood pressure. Digestive issues. Gut health is closely tied to stress. Weakened immune system. Chronic stress makes you more susceptible to illness. Also, chronic illnesses like heart disease, diabetes, and some other big ones I don't want to mention here. Also, fatigue and sleep problems, because fear keeps your mind racing. So, quick story time. Around COVID, around January of 22, I had already been suffering from serious panic attacks that I attributed to the times we were living, the constant state of unknown, the stress of work and school at home, etc., 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 like we all were. When little did I know, it's because my body was trying to draw my attention to the state of what was actually going on in my house and my relationship at the time. I do talk about that in other episodes, and I go into full details on an episode of Tamla Shaw's podcast, The Codependent Me Podcast. Just a little plug there, but I digress. So I had been on the serious struggle bus. Every physical symptom was haywire, my health anxiety was crazy, and other than some blood levels, including my blood pressure, every test I had came back negative. Okay, that's great, right? But see, here's the kicker. When you have health anxiety and horrific fear of sickness and dying, that's really little comfort until the next thing. So I had really been in physical pain that week, and my chest muscles were killing me. And one night I was in the house playing with my kids when one of the worst panic attacks of my life hit me. The pain in my chest was radiating. I was dizzy, couldn't breathe, and I was convinced I was having a heart attack. And that's exactly how the ambulance and the ER treated me when I called them. I was 37 years old, and I remember them saying on the ride to the hospital to have all units for possible heart attack for a 37-year-old female. Okay, so in hindsight, maybe he shouldn't have said it like that, but they had to play it just in case, and I had about 9 people working on me at one time. After 12 hours and thousands of dollars, it was a hideous panic attack. I will say this, never play with physical symptoms because they always can be serious, and please take your health seriously, be your own advocate. This story was more proof that our mind-body connection is an incredible blessing and can also be a horrible curse as well. Third, the fear of your relationships, love avoidance, and people pleasing. Fear of rejection keeps you from putting yourself out there. Fear of abandonment keeps you in relationships you've outgrown. Fear of confrontation turns you into a people pleaser. Fear can make you settle in all kinds of relationships because you're scared to be alone. It can stop you from expressing your needs because you fear conflict. It can cause attachment issues, whether you're either avoiding intimacy because you're scared of being hurt or clinging too tightly because you're scared of losing someone. Fourth, fear and your career. Playing small versus taking risks. A fear of failure stops you from chasing dreams. Fear of judgment keeps you from speaking up in meetings or anywhere else in life. Fear of uncertainty keeps you at a job you hate because at least it's predictable. How many times have you thought about starting something new? A business, a creative project, a big move, but talked yourself out of it? We all do. That's fear keeping you stuck in your comfort zone. Some of us struggle with imposter syndrome, where you always feel like you don't belong, and you're just not good enough, even when life is telling you the opposite. Fifth, fear and your life choices, the safe, stagnant zone. Fear convinces you to stay where it's safe, even if you're miserable. It keeps you in cities you've outgrown, friendships that no longer serve you, and routines that don't bring you joy. Fear is the reason so many people wake up one day and think, "How the hell did I end up here?" So how do we combat fear and take your power back? Fear isn't something you eliminate. It's something you retrain. It's about learning to move forward despite the fear. And here's how. Name your fear. Shine a light on it. Beetlejuice that bitch if you have to. The first step in overcoming it is calling it out. Instead of letting it lurk in your mind, name it. Ask yourself, what exactly am I afraid of? Is it failure, rejection, judgment, the unknown? When you give your fear a name, you make it tangible. And when something is tangible, it's manageable. 2. Challenge the fear. Is it even true? Is it real? Fear often exaggerates reality. That worst-case scenario running through your head is usually an extreme, unlikely outcome. So ask yourself, what's the actual worst that could happen? Have I ever faced something similar and survived? Do I know anybody who has survived or been through the same thing? What's the best case scenario? And what evidence do I have that my fear is even real? Most of the time, you'll realize your fear is based on assumptions, not facts. 3. Shift fear into excitement. Reframe it. Did you know fear and excitement trigger the same physical response, calling those butterflies again? The only difference is your interpretation. So instead of saying I'm terrified, try saying I'm excited. It sounds simple, but your brain starts to believe it. For example, instead of I'm scared to start this new job, say I'm excited for this new opportunity. Instead of saying I'm terrified to date again, say I'm excited to meet new people. I know, easier said than done, but it's a start. And just an FYI, take this with a grain of salt, because you need to be careful with the narrative. There are moral and ethical differences, for example, if it's dangerous to you or others. 4. Take small, fear-facing actions. You don't have to conquer fear in one dramatic leap. Just take one small step. Afraid of public speaking? Practice in front of a mirror. Afraid of putting yourself out there and dating? Start with casual conversations. Afraid of leaving a toxic job? Update your resume and send out one application. Courage is built in tiny steps, not giant leaps. Just think of the pyramids. And adopt a so what mindset. Ask yourself, again, if the worst happens, so what? If I get rejected, so what? I'll try again. If I fail, so what? I'll learn something. And as Aaliyah said, dust yourself off and try again. If people judge me, so what? I'm not living for them. When you take away fear's power by deciding that you'll be okay no matter what, you start to free yourself. Surround yourself with fearless energy. Fear is contagious, but so is confidence. The people you surround yourself with influence your mindset. Hang around people who take risks, push past fear, and live fully, and you'll start doing the same. Again, because Mother Teresa must always say it, please, within reason. Think of yourself and the lives of others. Audit your circle. Are you surrounded by people who encourage you or people who reinforce your fears? And lastly, visualize success. We spend so much time imagining failure that we forget to imagine success. So try this. Close your eyes and picture your best case scenario. What does it look like? How does it feel? The more you focus on what could go right, the less power fear has over you. Manifestation, anyone? So here's my final thoughts on fear. Because it will exist, but it doesn't have to rule you. Here's the truth. Fear never completely disappears, but you get to decide whether it's the driver or just the backseat passenger in your life. Fear will always whisper, "What if I fail? But you can answer, well, what if I succeed? Fear will say, it's safer to stay where you are. But you can answer, but I want more. So the next time fear shows up, don't let it paralyze you. Use it. Let it fuel you. Because on the other side of fear, that's where your best life is waiting. All right, so we're taking charge of our mental. Let's talk about transformation. Becoming your best self for you. Healing, accepting, and self-love. Real self-love, not the Instagram version. This is deep stuff. Healing old wounds, unlearning toxic patterns, and realizing you are worth the life you want. With self-love? Oof. That phrase gets thrown around like confetti. I do it too. And half the time, people confuse it with self-care. Also extremely important. Bubble baths are lovely. They feel great. And they're relaxing. But true self-love is holding yourself accountable, setting boundaries, and knowing you're enough, even when no one is clapping for you. And then there's your outer transformation, which is not just about looks. It's about style, confidence, and owning your glow-up. An outer transformation isn't about becoming a new person. It's about becoming more of yourself. Sometimes a new haircut or wardrobe refresh can feel like an energy shift. And that's because the way we present ourselves affects how we feel inside. You ever have somebody tell you, oh my God, you look great today, or your hair looks fantastic today? It's because you are going to radiate a different energy when you feel good about yourself, and people will notice. A lot of times we make the mistake and say, well, damn, I must look like shit every other day. Well, maybe not necessarily that's the case, because I do it too. But the reality is, sometimes, if we don't feel great or don't look our best in our own way, then we're going to put that out there also. So let's be clear. No amount of contouring or Botox can fix what's broken on the inside. Because if it could, my Sephora bill would be astronomical. The key is alignment, when how you look and how you feel finally match. So here are ways to align your inner and outer self. Declutter your space. Your environment affects your mindset. Find your style, individually. Wear what makes you feel powerful, not what trends say you should wear, or society. Take care of yourself, not for vanity, but because you deserve to feel good in your own skin. This is all related to self-love, and here's some more info on that. So let's talk self-love versus relational love. Self-love is choosing yourself even when it's hard, speaking to yourself with kindness, walking away from what doesn't serve you, speaking to yourself with grace and forgiveness. Remember, you are a person and deserving of all the love, even when we are the hardest. Okay, so I'm going to get a little biblical here for a second, because I think context is important. We are always our worst bullies and critics, the hardest on ourselves, and that's usually learned. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke where after the angel Gabriel told Mary she would be carrying Jesus, she wonders if she's good enough, because that's what we do. We are critical of ourselves and can't see what others may. And the angel Gabriel tells her of her goodness and her favor in God's eyes. And she replies, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Good or bad, we form our thoughts about ourselves through the eyes of others, and it becomes hard-coded. Start to form your own thoughts and love all parts, and then keep improving and growing. Now there's relational love, which is giving and receiving love from others. But here's the kicker. It should never come at the expense of self-love. The moment you abandon yourself for someone else's approval, that's not love. That's self-betrayal. So how early love experiences shape our fears and healing comes with maternal love. That's our first lesson in love. Let's take a moment and think about this for a second. Maternal love. Whether you had a nurturing mother, a complicated relationship, or something in between, that first connection plays a huge role in how we love and how we fear. If you grew up feeling unconditional love and security, you might find it easier to trust and love yourself. But if love was inconsistent, conditional, or even painful, you might fear abandonment, rejection, or never being enough. And let's be real, many of us are still untangling the ways our childhood experiences shaped our relationships today. And here's the thing. You are not doomed to repeat old patterns. You can reparent yourself. You can rewrite the script. You can learn that love doesn't have to be earned. It should just be. Now let's think of maternal love in the opposite direction. Love for a child. How could loving a child, whether it's biological, adopted, a stepkid, a niece, a nephew, a mentorship, or even just nurturing younger loved ones transforms us? See, if you've ever loved a child in your life, you know it's a love like no other. It's deep, instinctual, and often overwhelming. It teaches you patience, sacrifice, and a level of protection you never even thought you had in you. And this kind of love, it teaches us just as much as it teaches them. It shows us how to be soft yet strong, how to show up even when we're exhausted, and how to love with no expectations of return. Because let's be honest, kids don't always say thank you, but you'd still move mountains for them. So what are some of the lessons we learn from loving a child? Well, one, unconditional love is real. It's not about perfection. It's about presence. Two, patience is tested, but it grows. The love we have for children pushes us to be better, hopefully, even when it's hard. Third, it reminds us what really matters. At the end of the day, love is about showing up again and again, even when life is messy. And just like our children watch how we love them, they also watch how we love ourselves. They see whether we set boundaries, whether we choose healthy relationships, and whether we allow fear to dictate our choices. So loving them, it also means healing us. So in conclusion, living boldly and loving fully. My loves, here's the takeaway. Fear is always going to exist, but you choose whether it controls you or fuels you. Transformation, both inner and outer, isn't about becoming someone new. It's about stepping into the you that's been waiting underneath all the doubt, trauma, and fear. And love, it's the foundation of it all. The love you received, the love you give, and most importantly, the love you choose to embody for yourself. Because whether you're rewriting your past, stepping into your power, or showing the next generation what love really looks like, you deserve to do it from a place of healing and strength. So take the chance. Start the healing. Buy the bold lipstick. That can go for men or women. Got the toxic ties. Show up for yourself like you are the love of your own life. Because you really are. And that's it. To all of my Prosecco Queens fam listening, if you connected with this episode, DM me. I love hearing from you. Share this episode, and if you haven't already, subscribe and leave a review. Join me next week, where we will be continuing this journey and talking about letting them versus letting me. I want to hear from you. I can be reached on all social media at Prosecco Queens Podcast. I can be reached via email at ProseccoQueensPodcast@gmail.com. And you can listen to these episodes on YouTube and subscribe at Prosecco Queens Podcast. And with that, let's raise your glass, mine of tea, to turning fear into power, to transformations that start from within, and to the courage to live life on our terms. Cheers until next time. Peace out.